This is the December 3rd, 2024 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15 minutes scheduled for the property before us. The hearing involves petition number 110 for property ID 186265000. The property is owned by Samuel and Dariah Etter. Board members present by video conference are John Marks, Joel Klein, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present for the assessor's office, but we do have Sam here for the appellant. If you could please raise your right hand now to be sworn in.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
I do.
Thank you. Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2020. Or keep in mind, the assessor has a presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you get a written response from this board as the outcome. And you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So unless you have questions, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
Great. All right, everyone. No further questions. So, to start, I truly do not believe that our land value is accurate. This parcel, 13513 Northeast Salmon Creek Avenue, is actually split into two separate plots of land. So, there's the main plot where my house is. There is a half an acre of Clark County land, and then another roughly quarter acre that my property continues. That in addition to it being incredibly steep, the only walkable land on the property is approximately 0.2 acres of land, which I know the assessor said was not going to be taking much into consideration. But that being said, the comps that were provided by the assessor, I do not think are accurate or comparable to my property at all. For example, comp number one was 14415 Salmon Creek Avenue, just down the road from my house. That land value was $497,000, and that acreage was 2.47 acres. This is completely flat land, identical river property with a view. So you have a plot of land that is over twice the size of mine, completely flat, nice trees, good view of the river, and it's only valued at 10% higher than my land is currently. Again, over twice the size of the property, and that's a single lot of land. That's not split into two lots. Comp number two from the assessor, again, 39% larger plot than mine. They had a 1.5 acre lot, completely flat, and their land was valued at $308,000. Granted, that was not a riverfront property. I get that, but again, a single parcel. And comp number three, again, 2.58 acres of flat land, nice oak tree, or nice, you know, evergreen trees, just no different than mine. Again, a 139% larger plot of land than mine, and only valued at 4% higher than my land. So kind of in conclusion, I think my 1.8 acres of land it's valued at, 448. And the assessor came to look at the land. The whole idea is, what would the market value be for the land? If there was no house on it, I don't believe anyone would pay $450,000 for completely steep land split into two parcels.
You have that picture. You have that picture of the land. Now, which parcel, the one that's got the dots on it, that's your house and the land there. And where is the other piece of property then?
Am I able to share, to do a screen share? Does that help at all?
Sure.
Yes, you should be able to.
Oh, great. Give me one moment. Okay, are you guys able to see this right here?
Yes.
Yes.
That's the picture I was referring to, yeah.
Great. So you can see the thinner red outline. That is my property there. Yeah. This is kind of my house, our front entry. I have a barn, like a shed barn thing right here. This is a fully, you can't walk on this or any of this further back between the thick red line and the thin red line. And then Clark County has a big plot of land. This is, I think, a waterway easement. And then I just have this really odd, thin slice of land over here that is not accessible unless you were to go on the road, down, and then over this way. Really a funky, funky property. It's just an odd situation.
Is that one up to the thin line right next to your property? Is that part of your property?
Right in this area here?
Yes.
Yeah, it is, and that's the very steep grade. So it's pretty much inside the thick red is walkable land. And then everything between the thick red and the thin red, especially on this backside because the creek runs right here, this is a 30-foot cliff.
Yeah.
So, of course, you can't walk on that.
And then that walkway is open little space land.
This, no. There's a small barn right here, and then that barn has pilings because it's so steep. So the one side of the barn is, kind of on this side of the barn, it's got posts that kind of hold up the one side because it's probably a 50% grade or a 50%, 50-degree angle towards the river here.
And but the next section of land is a walkway to the creek?
No, this is, again, this is all really steep right here, probably a 40 to 50 degree grade. This is like there's a big culvert right here, big cliffside, and it just is, I think, a stormwater drain into the creek.
And then the next parcel is county land?
Correct, yep.
And then your parcel is the next parcel over? That's part of the same parcel?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yep. Kidding.
That's a very narrow strip, isn't it, that goes down through there? Narrow strip, isn't it?
It can't be more than 20 feet wide. I've even thought, what could I use this for? I couldn't get I wouldn't be able to fit a mobile home there or anything like that. It's just kind of a thin strip of land.
If you look on Clark County Maps online, the GIS map, you can click on that strip and it says no account. So it's pretty clear that nobody owns it.
Yeah.
This strip right here, that is?
Yeah. Yeah, Allison's got it shown there.
Yeah, yeah. So I think it's considered a waterway or something funny. Yeah. For the stormwater culvert right at the top of it.
Yeah.
Okay. I got it.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm not sharing anymore, am I?
Yeah. No.
No. No. So from your house, looking at these pictures, you've got a daylight basement type thing. Your deck is up on supports. But then from where that deck post stops, that drops off again, and doesn't it straight down to the creek pretty much?
Yeah, towards the river. If I was on my deck, again, mm-hmm. it's a 30-foot drop straight to the river.
Right. And you do not have a walkway, legal walkway along the front of the creek over to that other little strip. I mean, they're not connected. Your house and that strip aren't really connected.
That's correct. Unless I'm walking onto technically it's 134th Street. Unless I walk out to the road down and then around on the at north side of the Clark County property, I can't access that second strip.
Okay. I don't have any other questions on it.
Got it. Okay, anything else?
Again, I know I'm not supposed to bring up taxes, but 2019 taxes were $4,900, and now 2024, granted 5 years later, we're at 9,200, and it's just, it's pretty burdensome. So that's kind of course, that's the goal of having this meeting is I just making sure I'm paying the correct amount in taxes, right?
Right.
So thank you all for your time. Any other questions?
I have no questions.
No. I have no questions.
Okay.
Great. Do I just hop off the meeting now?
Yep. You'll hear from us within 30 days.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
Yep. Thank you.
Bye.
Okay.
This is the December 3rd, 2024 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. The hearing before us involves petition number 119 for property ID 13055-6086. The property is owned by Brian and Heather Fall. Board members present by video conference are John Marks, Joel Klein, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present from the assessor's office and no one present for the appellant. No detailed quantitative information was provided by the appellant for board review, and the assessor's evidence included 4 comparable sales, a property information card, and a cover letter recommending no change to the assessed value. I will turn it over to Chairman Daniel Weaver.
Since there's no one present for either party, we'll make a decision based on information available. Any questions?
No questions.
No questions.
Close the hearing.
This is the December 3rd, 2024 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves petition number 27 for property ID 3791-4206. The property is owned by Adam and Damla Hamid. Board members present by video conference are John Marks, Joel Klein, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present from the assessor's office, but we do have Adam here for the appellant. If you could please raise your right hand now to be sworn in.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
Yep. Yes.
Thank you. Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2024. Keep in mind, the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as the outcome. You have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision.
Okay.
So unless you have questions on procedure, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
I don't have any other questions. Let me get that pulled up. Yeah, so I think you guys have mine, what I sent. So this is the third year in a row that I've had to dispute it. So the year that I bought it, it was assessed for more than what I paid for it. which was 2022. So I bought it in August, and it was valued more. So the assessor agreed. So they lowered it down to the purchase price, which was 3,425. And then the next year, same thing. You know, it reverts back. You guys probably are obviously well aware of that more than me. But same thing happened again. So they had it assessed for $3,988,000 for tax year 2024. They agreed again because obviously the tax year 2024 was the value on January 1st, 2023, which was just, you know, 4 months after I bought it. So as of January 1st, 2023, the assessor had the land valued at 1.803 and they had the building at 1,621. So, so that was January 1st of 23. So 1 year later, which is the one that we're discussing now, January 1st, 2024, they basically, they threw out the previous year's overruled value like they do. And they bumped it up from 1.6 and change to 2.1. So they bumped it up over 500,000, year over year, for the building, which I just don't think is right. There was some remodel that went on, but it wasn't that excessive and the remodel wasn't done as of January 1st. The stuff that was done, it wasn't done as of January 1st, 2024. So even if you want to try to factor that in, the work wasn't done. And obviously anyway, so I guess that's it. I want to touch on the stuff that the assessor did some comps, and I had some questions on the assessor's comps that they used. I wanted you guys to look at those, and maybe I don't know if I can ask you questions, but so you see that there's three comps that. Let me get on that page. Give me 1 second. So what the assessor provided for evidence, it's the sales grid PDF. Do you guys see that?
Yes.
Yes.
So they used these three comps. I assume because, you know, it's not a common property, right? It's a riverfront, so. And I'm familiar with, I've looked for a riverfront property for 6 years, 7 years. So I'm familiar with every single one of these. So I understand why they chose these. They chose them not because the building is similar. The buildings are actually quite different, right? Some of them are only, you know, 4,000 square feet, whereas mine's 7,200. So they didn't choose these comps because the buildings were similar. They chose them because the lots were similar. So what the assessor did on this is they looked at those comps. They made the adjustments based on the building, based off of, you know, if it was a class 7 versus excellent, the square footage, you know, the garage space. I understand all those adjustments that they made based on the buildings. What I don't understand is why they would adjust the land. So you can see on a couple of them, they adjusted the land up by $700,000. So if it's a comp and that's why you chose it because it is a comp, obviously the buildings are different, but if it's a comp, why would they, to get to their adjusted value, why would they need to adjust the land up by $700,000? I can tell you that my lot is not worth $700,000 more than a lot on Rivershore. I can tell you that my lot is not worth $300,000 more than a lot on Leicester Point. The other lot that's a little further east, the 18333, that log cabin looking one, that's on 1.2 acres. Yeah, it's a little further out, but there's no way that is worth $700,000. So what I don't get is why you would use a comp. Why you would choose these as comps when you have to make adjustments to the building, I understand, but it's not a comp if you've got to adjust the land and the building. So I think that was a little disingenuous on their on their assessment to change the value by $700,000 on a river shore. Yes, my neighborhood's gated, but it's also located right next to Whittler Park, where somebody threatened to shoot me over the summertime when I was in my backyard, where there was a naked man on the beach that my two-year-old saw his bare genitals. The train blocks our entrance. We only have one entrance to the neighborhood, and the train will block it for sometimes for 45 minutes. River Shore has two entrances. They don't get blocked for extended periods of time. So, yes, it's gated, but there are some drawbacks, too. So I don't see how they would want to adjust the land up by $700,000. So if you look at these as comps and you just make the building adjustments, their adjusted sale prices come out to right where I think it should be, right between 3.6 and 3.7. So I think it's disingenuous to make that land adjustment.
Well, all they're doing, if you look at the calculation, is that they're adding the land value to the comparables to make it equal to your land value. So they take the land value out of the calculation and adjust only for the differences in your house.
No, they're taking the difference between my assessed value, and they're bringing those lots up to my assessed value.
Right.
So so basically what they're saying is that the those ones are incorrect. So basically what I was told, that I'm not supposed to use another assessed value to compare my lot. So why is the assessor taking my assessed value and bringing those lots up to my assessed value? I didn't think an assessed value of one parcel should be factored in, but they are using my assessed value and raising up the value of that land of the other lots to match my assessed value. So why would they do that?
I am partially in agreement with you. I don't understand why they do that, but I know what they're doing is they're taking the land values out of the calculation and just basically trying to adjust the house. I mean, the rules of doing comparables is you're supposed to adjust the subject property, or the comparable property, to the subject property, and that's why they're doing it, so that they take that portion out entirely. I don't necessarily agree with that calculation, but
and I understand too, but and you know, the point is to say that these are comparable properties. That's why these were chosen, not because of the buildings were similar, right? We chose these properties because they're comparable. So why would you raise it? If it's comparable, why would it need to be adjusted by $700,000 to get to their adjusted value? If that adjustment wasn't made because they're comparable, right? They're comparable. They're riverfront. They're similar sizes. You know, some have certain drawbacks, some have certain benefits. But if you take that out of their adjusted value, their adjusted sales prices for those three comps are going to be all around 3.6. I understand what you're saying too on that. I don't know why they would choose a comp that they have to adjust the land and the building on. It doesn't really sound like a comp at that point.
Yeah, they're doing two things there, which I don't necessarily agree with, but they're adjusting the property value, and they're also saying that each one of you has a $250,000 view all the way across the board, which generally speaks to the land value of your property. If you have a view of $250,000 and you're trying to compare that to a property that doesn't have a view, there's going to be a big difference in the property value.
So are they saying that those three are wrong and mine's correct? Is that what they're basically saying?
I guess.
Yes.
Like I don't necessarily agree with their calculation. That's what I'm telling you.
Yeah, no, and I appreciate that, because it's like you got three, you have to adjust all three of them up to get to mine. Well, maybe mine's wrong. You know, maybe my assessed value on that one is wrong. And, you know, I talked with Joshua Florette briefly, and he was explaining, you know, that Topper is the most desirable. Well, I'm also right next to the park, and like I said, those aren't exaggerations. I was somebody threatened to shoot me. My 2-year-old saw a man's genitals on the beach, and there's fireworks going off for the entire month of July, mortars. So there are benefits and there's drawbacks to my property versus River Shore and the other ones. But you know, I wasn't even focused on the property until I saw how they came to their calculation. I was more focused on the building value going up by 30-some-odd% in 1 year. And yes, there were some improvements, but they weren't finished at that time. Also, can I ask you guys a quick question that I sent an email, but I didn't get an answer to? Do you mind pulling up? And thank you for listening. I know I'm talking a mile a minute. I've had 3 coffees today. If we could look at the building card attachment that the assessor submitted as evidence, maybe let me know when that's in front of you guys.
Can you bring it up? Yeah.
Yeah. So on the, I just have a quick question on the, if you down kind of near the bottom in the center, it says the depreciation is 89%. So it shows an effective year built of 2004. With the effective year built of 2004, is my understanding right that that's just the depreciation because the finishes are old? So if it's a class 7 or whatever it is, if you were to do a full remodel from 2004 and then you brought it up to date, you would lose that 11% depreciation. Is that what I'm understanding?
That's correct.
So bring it up, okay, so
it would be considered a property that was built in, let's say, 2008 and but with an effective age of 2024.
Right. Okay. So I would lose. So even if it was a full on remodel, class 7 to class 7, which I think I'm labeled as a class 7, even if it was a full on class 7 to class 7 remodel, the most that my structure should go up I would lose that 11% depreciation, which is about $240,000, right? Am I understanding that correctly?
No. That's not exactly right. It would be brought up to the level of the 89% is just strictly a time adjustment. Does not have anything to do with what the value is as of that date. But if you brought it up to a full-on 2024 house, you would be valued at 2024 values, and it may go up more or less than the 89%. It may go up more than that because the value of a 24 house, you'd be valued as a 24 house, which may have not the 89% or the 11% more than what it was in the prior years.
So you're saying that 89% might be based off of a house that was an effective year built, say 2016 or something like that. You can have a number higher than 100%?
No, you wouldn't have a number higher than 20%. They would just change the cost, the value of the property to whatever the current value is. Let's say if it cost you $200 a square foot to build it in 2016, and now today it costs you $240 a square foot. The fact is that you've depreciated 11% has no bearing on what the current price of building a house is. It's strictly a mechanical calculation.
Got it. Okay. I just wanted to understand that point of it. Yes, thank you. I still don't think I do, but I know our time is limited, so maybe I'll.
Well, it's an accounting concept. It's strictly by time the passage of time. It's depreciated on the passage of time based on what it costs, what the value was in 2016 versus.
Okay, so they assign a value. So inflation and all that's factored into that. So if the price of building goes from 200 to 300. Overnight, that would be factored in to that calculation. You're saying the cost to build in a certain year.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Thank you for answering that for me. I know here we're done with our time. I think these are 15 minutes, right? Okay. So I'll just leave you with my final quick summary. I think it was disingenuous for them to adjust those comps up by 700,000 for two of the three to get to their adjusted sale price for those. Their adjusted sale price is between 3.6 and 4.3. I think they should all be around, they should be between 3.3 and 3.6 if you take off those land adjustments. I think the land is all quite comparable. They value the view at the same 250 for all of them. The dirt size is similar on all of them. So I don't think that they should have adjusted that. I think their adjusted sales price should be between 3.3 and 3.6. And then while there were some improvements, they weren't finished as of January 1st, 2024. So I don't think that those should factor in to the building valuation. As of 2023, they valued the building at 1.6. I don't think it should go to 2.1 in 1 year when improvements weren't completed. So that's my take. I think there should be some sort of increase in the building just over time, but not 30-some-odd percent in 1 year when there weren't completed improvements. Thank you for listening.
Okay.
I have a question.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead. You said that there were improvements and they weren't completed as of January 1st, 2024. What was completed?
There were some windows, some exterior windows, or all new windows. Paint, I think, was done.
Exterior?
Exterior paint, yeah. What else was done? They hadn't poured the concrete, the new patio, which actually was so bad it's getting ripped out. What else? The interior paint wasn't done yet. You know, I'm trying to give you an answer quickly because I know it's a time limit, but the exterior paint was done.
Well, let's keep in mind under new construction they have until July 31st to value new construction for the tax year. So it really is depending on what was there and whether they examined it in July 31st.
Got it. Okay. Yeah, I don't know.
Was it done by July 31st?
Yeah, it was done by July 31st. It was done end of April or early May, something like that. So, okay.
I just have one small comment, I think, for you. If you appeal this property again, when you file the appeals, there's a listing sheet included for you to put comparable sales on that you're using as a value basis. I'd really like to see that, and like we've just talked about with the construction, you know, a quick paragraph of telling us what's going on would be really beneficial. I'd suggest that you can do that or try to do that. So,
yeah, okay, otherwise, I will. Yes, sir.
Okay, I don't have any other questions.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, gentlemen.
You'll hear from us within 30 days.
Thank you, Allison.
Okay.
Thank you.
This is the December 3rd, 2024 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. The hearing before us involves petition number 111 for property ID 17682-7264. The property is owned by Yuan Lijian and Chen Daylin. Board members present by video conference are John Marks, Joel Klein, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present for the assessor's office and no one present for the appellant. The appellant submitted one comparable sale, property ID 17682-7206, sold for $490,000 in October 2023, and the assessor's evidence included three comparable sales, a property information card, and a cover letter recommending no change to the assessed value. The appellant disagreed with the appraiser's findings. I will turn it over to Chairman Daniel Weaver.
Since there's no one present for either party, we'll make a decision based on information available. Any questions?
No questions.
Joel, any questions?
No.
Close the hearing.
This is the December 3rd, 2024 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves petition number 149 for property ID 986043895. The property is owned by Stephen and Karen Smith. Board members present by video conference are John Marks, Joel Klein, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present from the assessor's office, but we do have Stephen here for the appellant. If you could now please raise your right hand to be sworn in.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
Yes.
Thank you. Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2024. Keep in mind, the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as the outcome, and you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So unless you have questions on procedure, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
Okay. I don't have any questions. We actually went through this process last year with the same set of circumstances with a couple updates. As a refresher to that, we have a property located next to a large commercial building, about 20,000 square feet, two-story building that was built after our home built. And it has a large air conditioning unit. It's a 30-ton commercial HVAC system that is directly in line with our residence, about feet above the residence. It produces a significant amount of noise, especially during the winter months, which is right now from October through April, and obviously summertime when the temperature's hot enough. But this commercial conditioning unit is emitting noise that exceeds the Washington State noise pollution standard, and we have been working with the property owner, the city of Camas, unsuccessfully to get the property owner to abate the noise, and we're currently in a litigation to get that issue resolved. The bottom line is that the commercial HVAC system impacts the tranquility, peace, and use of our property, and it creates a property that is impaired and therefore falls kind of outside of the normal appraisal process that is used by the county. And we would like to, we've actually presented a number of things. I guess you should have a copy of our appeal that was sent that documents the various noises. Basically, it's the same arguments we're making last year, that we have an impaired property, the fair market value process that is being used. We're not contesting that. What we're simply saying is that because our property is an impaired property, it really doesn't reflect a fair market value. And the key question that we really are asking you to answer is, if someone were to buy our home with a 38-ton HVAC system that's producing 70 decibels of noise, that constant and continuous, it sometimes runs 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. This is unlike a residential air conditioning unit that pops on and off. This thing is a variable refrigerant flow. It runs at time, and right now it's running 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We actually, as a part of our documentation, we have three property owners that are impacted here. Myself and the property owners in the East West, both of them have also appealed their their assessment last year and as well as this year. We hired an acoustical engineering firm in January to come out and put in a certified measured instrumentation to document the case. And on the basis of that, we have filed a lawsuit with owner to get that issue resolved. And unfortunately, that is still in progress. It's going to be probably May of 2025 before that actually gets to the court. But the bottom line is that the fair market value that that is there does not reflect the impaired nature of our property. And the noise nuisance that is really affecting our property as well as our neighbors on each side. We reached out to last year, when I had a hearing with the board, there was a question that said, maybe you should do a noise study. Well, I reached out to an independent appraiser intending to do that after I got my notification this year. And it was a person that has 25 or 30 years of experience in Clark County. And in his professional opinion, there was basically no comparables, similar noise profile of what we're seeing in the county that would be able to be done to make it comparable. So they're really any question whether or not the valuation process that is normally done, and I understand the fair market value and that process. There are no comps because there are really this is a very unique situation, and they're likely that there are any properties that would fit the bill, and therefore a different approach needed to be done. We submitted all of that as a part of our appraisal documentation back from the appraiser with a number of comments, some of which were actually probably needed a little bit clarified. But the crux of the issue is not the comps that were produced, but the fact we have an impaired property and that property does not reflect its market value based on a comparable basis because the properties that were used don't have nuisance. And that impairment creates, between the reasonable buyer and a reasonable seller, there is a discount to that valuation that has not been reflected in our appeal process. In our appeal, I submitted a number of options for you to consider as a way around that, some of which were quantitative and some of which were anecdotal. Got an opinion of value from a real estate broker that said in these kinds of circumstances, a 10 to 20% discount in the property value could be warranted depending on a case-by-case basis. We've got a 70 decibel air conditioning unit runs 24 hours a day, 7 days a week throughout the year. That produces noise that's in violation of the state statute. We have contracted with a certified acoustical engineer that has verified that. We have a lawsuit that's pending to get this issue resolved. And until that happens, our property isn't worth the fair market value that the appraiser is suggesting that it is. I've gone back and looked at a couple other options. Our appraisal last year was held at $1,437,000. This year's appraisal came in at 23% increase over that of our 2024 appraisal or estimate of value. I went back and looked at the 15 properties that are in our neighborhood, and we're in the Parklands neighborhood, and the values of that neighborhood are really from soup to nuts. We have a a property that's up the street that sold for $4 million, but our property doesn't look anything like that. But the properties, there were 15 properties that had tax records on the rolls for 2025. I guess I'm dealing with this year. The average increase for those properties was 6%. And that's the neighborhood average. Our assessment was 23%. Last year, the Board of Equalization acted differently from the appraiser and adjusted the fair market value down by about 12.6%. And if you use that same adjustment factor for the fact that we still have a noise impaired property, it is not like fair market comps in the area. You applied that same reduction factor, which is about 87% of the fair market value, you get to a number of about $1.5 million. If you use the neighborhood average, which is about 6% for 15 properties instead of 23%, which is what our appraisal was, you would get a property value for us of about $1.527 million. And if you take a look at the average of those, so the bottom line is that our property assessment didn't take into account the appeal in 2024, and I understand that every year is a different year. I called the appraiser and talked to somebody there, actually an appraiser, and he was went back and checked our property records and said that there was apparently no flagging done of our appeal last year or the Board of Equalization adjustment of value. And he rectified that. I was surprised that he ended up getting a response that didn't fix it from that point and necessitate having to go through the board review today. The appraiser came back with four comps, and interesting enough, those four comps came in exactly at what their appraised value was, which is a little bit of a surprise. I would have expected that to be different. So I went back and looked at those four comps and actually compared the comp values that the appraiser provided as justification for his value and looked at what their 2024 tax appraisal was that's on the books for right now. And that tax appraisal this year, it's only 87% of the comp value. So if we're disputing what the value is, my appraised value was 100%, whereas the four comps that were used by the appraiser were only 87%. So that provides another benchmark, would suggest if you use the comp value that would, the appraiser produced of 1.779 and reduce that by the same factor that was used for the four comps, you could get a number that's right in the middle of where the numbers that I have already provided to the board of about $1.54 million. So anyway, we have an impaired property. I don't think the process of fair market value reflects that, because the properties that were presented don't have the noise nuisance. And if a reasonable buyer and a reasonable seller were looking at our house with a 38-ton air conditioning unit that's 16 feet away from the property, I doubt that they would pay the same price for a similar house with similar construction that didn't have that impairment. That's basically the gist of my argument. The other anecdotal information about the real estate broker, and I also provided some regional studies I could find online that documented noise nuisance and the fact that we've got an impaired property and submitted that as justification for a reduction in our 2025 appraisal. So I'd be happy to answer any questions that you might have for me.
What did we set the value at last year?
Last year, the value was 1.437.
Even?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes. That's what we set the value at, 1.437?
Yes.
Yeah. And that's
this year.
That's the number value. Came in. That's the, what the value is on your notice of value, right?
It was a notice of value for this for last year. Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
And that it went up from 1.437 to 1.779, which is a 23% increase.
Got it.
That, yeah. Which is, you know, I'm not arguing that those comps weren't valid, but my point is that those comps don't reflect the impaired nature of our property, and the right. And the only way to really do it is to do a comparable paired with like properties that also have a noise nuisance. And you know, this is similar to having a gravel pit or a dairy farm or whatever, but this noise is not intermittent, it's constant and continuous. And let me tell you, when you wake up at 2 o'clock at night with an air conditioning unit that's blaring like a leaf blower and doesn't stop, it interrupts your sleep, it interrupts the use of our property, it interrupts the peace and tranquility of just living here. And the two neighbors on either side are somewhat less impacted because they're a little bit farther away, but they also, there's an echoing of the noise. We've measured it. We've done everything we can do and tried to work with the landowner or with the property owner to cooperatively do anything, and he has refused our efforts to pay to move it or to do sound studies or any of that kind of stuff. So unfortunately, we had to go to a legal approach, which has, and the results of the acoustical study shows that the property is in violation of the state noise pollution statute, and it will likely be, the outcome will be that the owner will move the unit farther away. And at that point, then our property will not be impaired. And we have not enjoyed that because that has not happened yet.
Got it. Okay. I have no further questions.
Yeah, I don't have any questions. I remember being through this a year ago with you.
Right. Well, the two things that have changed is, one, we actually now have an acoustical noise study, and I believe, Allison, I said that as a part of our documentation, and it's really getting into the weeds, but basically the nighttime threshold for a commercial property to emanate noise onto a residential property is 47 decibels. The background noise, if the unit is off, is about 35 decibels. It's producing in excess of 70 decibels at the source. And if you're not familiar with sound, every 10 decibels increase is a doubling of the sound. So going from 35 to 70 is 8 times louder noise and 1,000 times more sound energy. So this is like a leaf blower. And the bottom line is that they're in violation of that standard basically 100% of the time. and there are some nuances with that in terms of 15 minutes of whatever, but this is not like the appraiser in their comments said, well, this is the sound equivalent of a normal conversation. A normal conversation is not constant and is not continuous. This is like a leaf blower running in your backyard 12 hours a day, 14 hours a day, 16 hours a day, and especially at night when you can't sleep or you have to wear earplugs. My wife wears noise-canceling earplugs in her bedroom. I think that's ridiculous. I have to do that. So I think we've documented that we have an impaired property. We're asking for relief from that. I've given actually three different ways of getting to that in a quantitative way, using the adjustment from last year, using an increase. And in our particular property, this attractive neighborhood, the property values have gone up by 6%. And my appraised value from the 1.437 from last year should go up equivalently, 6%, or that's the neighborhood average for the 15 properties. The four comps that the appraiser used actually only went up 3%, and a couple of those properties actually went down in value relative to their 2025 assessment. The third approach would be to take a look at the appraised value ratio between that and the comps, and that was 87%. That puts it right in the same ballpark. So something in the 1.55 range would be a 6 to 8% increase in my property value, and I think reflects the neighborhood average, and I think that is a fair approach. The anecdotal evidence from the real estate broker and from the real estate appraiser that I reached out to said that's an impaired property. Definitely, you have it's a flawed process to use a comps that don't have that impairment in it, because it doesn't reflect the true nature, the true fair market value between a reasonable buyer and a reasonable seller.
Okay, I got it. I have no further questions. All right. You'll hear from us within 30 days.
Okay, great. Thank you very much. Appreciate your time, guy.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
This is the December 3rd, 2024 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves petition number 113 for property ID 98605-8351. The property is owned by Casey Watrous. Board members present by video conference are John Marks, Joel Klein, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. We do have Karen Reisenhauer here for the assessor's office, as well as Casey here for the appellant. If you could both please raise your right hands now to be sworn in.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
I do.
I do.
Thank you. Just to remind you that we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2024. Keep in mind the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as the outcome. And you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like your decision. So unless you have questions on procedure, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal. As I understand, you have discussions about some kind of settlement. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Has that been resolved?
Karen called me last night to discuss the proposal, which, I understood I understood her perspective, and I wasn't opposed to it. I really wanted to attend the hearing and go through this process and understand the process and the responsibility of the Board of Equalization to also hear her proposal and just to, confirm that it's a fair proposal. And if the Board of Equalization believes that, then I don't have any objections.
Okay. I'll let you go ahead and explain. We do not give you a decision at this hearing. Your decision will come in a written response within 30 days. So if you're expecting us to decide one way or the other about this situation today, we do not do that on the record here.
Okay. I guess I don't mean a decision. I don't know what I mean. Like, I'm just, I guess I came to learn about this process. So,
okay,
you know, you guys are all the experts.
Go ahead and explain your appeal, and then we'll hear from Karen as to her take on this and how she comes up with her conclusion. So go ahead. Yeah.
So mine is, my appeal is simple, and it was based on assessors that came to my property last summer. And they wanted to view the backyard because from the sidewalk, the assessor who was training somebody, noticed that the land was very sloped and unusable. While they were out on the sidewalk, I went out just to see what they were doing, and they asked if they could go into the backyard and take a closer look at the property. And they explained to me what they were doing and what they thought initially. So they went and looked at it and deemed that it was, most of it is unusable. And they also told me that I would have to appeal every year because for whatever reason, the information wouldn't stick in the system. So that's why I appealed this year based on their advice. And so, and then I supplied pictures of, you know, the property and the slope and all that stuff. So it's a very, I think, straightforward appeal from my perspective. After talking to Karen last night, it seems like some improvements are going to be made going forward from a system perspective, and that notes can be saved, and it can be, you know, I won't have to do this every year because the land isn't going to change, right? I mean, so it seemed inefficient that I'd have to appeal year over year. But I think that's going to be taken care of per what Aaron told me last night.
Okay.
So, Karen, you want to?
Sure. So, just so Mr. Casey knows, I did say the land value can change, but I am willing to reduce it to $200,000. I'm going to code it with some buildable issues, and so that adjustment will remain in place. But if the land value, like the neighborhood land value, increases, say, from like $250,000 to $260,000, his land value is not going to remain at $200,000. It will still increase with that adjustment. So hopefully you were clear with that. I did agree with the need for the reduction. I talked to the appraiser that had inspected the property. In reviewing the sale, we did find that the classing of the home was incorrect, and he did purchase the property for $864,900, so I did have to make the correction to the building value. And so I was proposing a value of $625,841 for the improvement, and that was with correcting the class, and then $200,000 for the land. And so I wanted our system to calculate the corrected assessment, so I'm not manipulating the assessment record to get a value, if that makes sense.
Yes. So what does it come up with?
$825,841.
And the land is at $200,000?
Yes, reducing it to $200,000.
So the building then is at $625,841?
Correct.
Okay. And are you okay with that, Casey?
Yeah, I'm, it all made sense to me, but I wanted it to make sense to the Board of Equalization as well. So as long as everything that Karen said makes sense, then I'm okay. Sure. With the proposed assessment.
So let me make sure I understand it. You've made an adjustment to the property that's going to stay there, but the property will increase above the 200 based on increases in general property trends in the future, and then the house will be have increases according to the class of house and size and quality and all that. So, is that correct?
Yes, we do still have to assess at market value. So, and we are an annual county, so your home will be classified as a 4 quality of construction, and your land value will have an adjustment for the issues, but we can't control what the market does. It can remain similar, increase or decrease, but you do always have the right to appeal. You just hopefully will not have to appeal every year based on the land issue. The land issue, we are taking place in the system, but the market does change.
Okay, if you're okay with that.
Okay.
We're done with these. Okay, thank you all.
Thank you.
You'll hear from us within 30 days.
Okay, so do I need to wait 30 days, or do I just sign the document that Karen sent?
Well, we've already had the hearing, so you have to wait for a decision from us.
Oh, okay.
You have to sign an agreement before the hearing, because once we hold a hearing, we have to issue a decision.
Okay, that makes sense. But there will be something for me to sign within 30 days?
You don't have to sign anything. It'll just be a decision.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Our decision, all right, if you don't like it when it comes, you have to appeal it to the state.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Well, I appreciate your time and your patience, and thank you for letting me go through the process.
Okay. No problem.
Thanks, everybody.
Right. Pleasure to hear it.